Well, hello and welcome to the Christmas edition of the Bet Victor podcast. And boy, we've got some absolute presents for you in this podcast. Coming up a bit later on, we chat to Harry Redknapp, who gives us his festive football stories, and we have a chat about the season so far. Top rider Rachel Blackmore has a chat about some of the big names that are going to be in action, and we've got something very special coming towards the end of the podcast as well for you. But first of all, my ever-present sidekick has joined me. Dougie, a very Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. How are you, Sam?
I am very well, feeling pretty festive. Dougie, come on, what's the best ever Christmas song? I want to know what Dougie McRae's favourite Christmas anthem is.
I think it's got to be Slade, hasn't it? I think that's the
okay, you're I thought you were going to lean a bit more towards the Mariah Carey, but I can't see you here.
Really?
I can't
Slade,
see.
Or I like the, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but I like Paul McCartney's one as well.
Okay. Yeah. Not a bad shout. But there we go. Christmas number one markets on the site, as well as the Will It Snow on Christmas Day, where we have different locations across the UK. So you can check those out if you fancy a festive flutter. But Dougie, Christmas to me is all about one thing, the Boxing Day sport. And we're going to take a look at the football. You go back to 1963, Boxing Day then. Not the last time Dougie put up a winning tip, but when we had an incredible 66 goals on Boxing Day. I think this graphic does the rounds every year on social media.
Graphic, it's the graphic on Twitter. Yeah, I know the one you mean.
Yeah,
it's just, I mean, like every single year you see that.
Every game was crazy.
Like this year, mind you.
Things have been going. We've seen Liverpool win 7-0, haven't we, in all sorts recently. But you had the likes of Fulham winning 10-1, Liverpool 6-1. But you've got to feel for those over 2.5 backers, because Leicester v Everton let them down with just 2-0 Everton. But let's hope we get some good festive action. And Dougie and me have decided that the game we wanted to focus on, I think it's huge personally. It's absolutely massive. We're going to take a look at Arsenal, who host Chelsea, two London sides that have had vastly different experiences so far this season. Arsenal 29-10 at time of recording, the draw 13-5, Chelsea 19-20. Dougie, what on earth is going on at the Emirates?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? You know, we were sitting at the start of the season, and we were both really waxing lyrical about Arsenal, saying that Arteta looked like a breath of fresh air, and Arsenal would be, you know, well, definitely contenders for the top four, maybe not the league, but the top four anyway. I think everyone was pretty impressed with the start that they made after winning the FA Cup last season. So to be where they are now is pretty astonishing. They haven't won in the last seven Premier League matches. You know, you just need to watch their matches just now to see that guys like Aubameyang, Lacazette, these guys that were thriving last year, especially Aubameyang, what a transformation it's been for him. You know, he doesn't look happy. I think he's getting played slightly out of position. You know, nothing can go right, and they arrive here, even though they'll be at home, you know, Chelsea come here, and I really can't see anything other than a Chelsea win. I know we get upsets every now and again, and sometimes bets look too good to be true, but they're actually quite short, you know, 19-20 away from home against Arsenal, if you look at it out of context. But in the context of the match, I just can't see anything other than a Chelsea win.
But if you swapped Arsenal for any other team that's usually in that position at Christmas against the Chelsea side of that quality, yeah, and where they are in the league, Chelsea would be a lot shorter. Like I really think we're just about starting to cotton on now to the fact that this Arsenal side is in all sorts of bother. You know, I flick through the names and I don't see it, Dougie. I just don't see them. Obviously, Partey was brought in and I thought looked a bit of a player, but he's got a potential issue now. And, you know, you look at Ozil, who's out in the cold. I mean, it's a bit of a desperate side. Saka, I think, is their bright spot for me, but
yeah,
William has blown incredibly hot and cold, and I don't quite know if he's got it. David Luiz is just a baffling kind of player, and you know, the one bright spot, I think, and it's a player you'll probably know more about than most, was Kieran Tierney this season. I think he's been pretty good, but apart from that, I mean, how many Arsenal players would get in the Chelsea side? That's always the basic measure, isn't it? I'll be honest. Yeah. I don't think any of them would.
Yeah, Tierney's been probably one of the only positives there. He is like that, Tierney. He's tenacious and he always gives 100%. He's a good player, so I'm not really surprised that the Arsenal fans have taken to him. Because he has got, I mean, you can work as hard as you want sometimes, but if you've not got the ability to back it up, sometimes you don't quite get there, but he definitely has. So I'm not really surprised that he's done so well. But yeah, I mean, you went through the team there, and to be honest, I think there's something going on there that we can't actually see, because the way that Willian's went there, Willian had a great season last season, went to Arsenal, you know, good signing, solid signing, you would think. Hasn't looked at it at all. Aubameyang hasn't looked at it at all. David Luiz, you know, you never know what you're going to get with him anyway, but he certainly didn't. The only time when he seems to thrive is when he's playing in a team that are playing well. So right now, he's a bit of a passenger. So yeah, I mean, there is just absolutely no way you can see Arsenal turning it around in this match. When you look at Chelsea, even though they've obviously lost those games back-to-back, a few weeks ago, well, a couple of weeks ago now, you would just think they've got enough. It was a surprise for me to see them lose both those matches, but what they've got up going forward up front should have more than enough to take care of this Arsenal defence.
Completely agree. At 14-5, we've got a bet boost already up there. Chelsea to win, both teams to score. If you think Arsenal score, I'll be honest, looking through Arsenal's record, I wouldn't even be that confident that they'll get a goal. For all Chelsea are a bit indifferent, they're starting to find their defensive consistency, I think, which has been impressive. Dougie, any strong standout bets beyond the Chelsea win for you here?
No, I think I'd be sticking just with the Chelsea win. Possibly Chelsea to win 2-0.
Ooh, okay. 27-10, if you think they'll keep the clean sheet. Yeah, no.
Okay. Arsenal aren't scoring, you know, they look really look poor. But I did get stung with that bet against the Wolves when Chelsea were winning 1-0 with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, listen, that's just Frank Lampard's side at the moment. I think they're still finding their feet. But I think one thing to consider, we're going to move on just to touch on a couple of the other selections that Dougie likes for the Boxing Day 26th, 27th fixtures. But something to touch on, Dougie, is how important the depth of squad is going to be over Christmas. And you look at Chelsea, they have got an embarrassment of riches in terms of who they can bring off the bench compared to Arsenal. And I think that's such a key thing at this time of year when, you know, you've got games coming thick and fast. We definitely are seeing more injuries. And that's where I'd almost worry for Arsenal. They've been playing in the Europa League every Thursday as well, like whole different teams. I think Chelsea can really take advantage here. I know they've had Champions League, but their quality is so much greater. Bearing that in mind, we've asked you to have a flick through, and you've picked out a couple of fixtures you want to put in with Chelsea to win, starting with Southampton, who travel away to Fulham. A much improved Fulham side, I think it's fair to say, Dougie.
Yeah, Fulham are playing well. They've sort of started to turn the corner, haven't they? But they've drawn their last three in the Premier League. But they're still not really scoring an awful lot of goals. Southampton, their away record's been great. I think it's the last six. They're undefeated. Obviously, you know, they lost against City at the weekend there. And, you know, they were pretty unlucky. But I do think City came. I think that was one of City's best performances this season, even though it was just a 1-0 win. It was pretty solid. They
showed a bit of grit, didn't they, to really kind of get stuck in. And, you know, Pep did his usual thing of chopping and changing. We didn't really have a proper striker on the pitch with Aguero on the bench and Jesus out the squad. I take your point. And
to me, it was like a real potential for an upset there. And I think they handled it pretty well.
So you're putting Southampton up to get past him. Just touching on Southampton's strength, Dougie, I just think he's got the best out of Theo Walcott. He's got James Ward-Prowse playing well. The defence seems pretty settled. And, you know, their fullbacks can create a bit as well. Kyle Walker-Peters, I think, is quite a good little player there. And Bertram down the other side. And they're just a complete team, aren't they? Che Adams, I think, is really starting to get into the flow of things. Obviously, Danny Ings was back. Hopefully he can continue to play. I think he's a big player for them. But they just, I think their strongest, strongest 11 is a good 11, isn't it?
It's their manager for me. You know, he's got them so well drilled. You know, he's they all know their individual jobs. They all carry them out, you know, fine. I think he'll be they're pretty confident going into any match because they're so organised and tactically aware that they'll give anyone a game. So in this one, as I say, Fulham are playing okay. I think they've definitely found their feet a bit in the league, and I still think they'll have hope of staying up. But I just think against the Southampton side, they'll just have too much quality, especially away from home. They seem to be suited in these sort of fixtures.
Yeah, your final leg of a treble for the festive football is going to be, let's have a look here, Manchester United to beat Leicester. Now, obviously, both came through with impressive victories last time out. Manchester United putting 6 past Leeds, and we did speak about that game in detail last week, and we thought Leeds could be a potential banana skin, but my God, United turned up, you know, and it all clicked for them going forward. And I think they were pretty impressive. Defensively, clearly still showed their vulnerabilities, conceding 2. Whereas Leicester went away to Spurs. And I think really now, we've had quite a bit of cold water dumped on Spurs' title aspirations, Dougie, which is a bit of a shame for the context of the title race.
Yeah, I think they'll have a bit to do now. Spurs, you know, they have got these sort of performances in them. I think it might be a case, you know, they're so strong in the counter-attack. Spurs are so good at springing on teams when they're under a bit of pressure. But I think they're so good at that I think teams might have sussed that out and kind of are learning how to play against them. I don't think Spurs are very good when the impetus is on themselves to take the game to the other team. I think they can be huff and puff a bit. But on that counter-attack, they're so good with Son and Kane. So if you're able to work that out, and you're definitely going to be you're definitely going to have a chance of taking something from them. I think Leicester, when they played at the weekend there, it was really like that. It was like Leicester were just said to Spurs, "Come on, just come at us," and then they did, and Leicester were able to pick them apart on the counter.
I think for what it's worth, I would probably be leaning as well towards that, Dougie. I think. I found United an incredibly hard team to get right this season, but at 13-10, I think they're a fair price. And your treble at the moment, £10 returns just over 100 at time of recording. So it's a fun little treble for Boxing Day to get stuck into. We wish you the best of luck, whatever you're betting on. Obviously, do gamble responsibly just because it's Boxing Day. Don't need to get carried away, but we do need to enjoy the action. Dougie, all that remains to be said from you, I think, is to wish everyone listening a very Merry Christmas.
Yep, hope everyone stays safe and has an excellent festive period.
Yeah, coming up next, we talk to Harry Redknapp about some of his festive football memories and get his take on the season so far.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Should I take boosted odds on the big lad to score first or risk a cheeky bet on the new boy?
Listen, back in the day, people were always offering me deals on players. But sometimes, despite the fans screaming for me to sign them and the chairman having the cash, if I wasn't sure, then it wasn't worth the gamble. Sometimes your best bet is not to take the bet at all. Oh, got to run, pal. The dog's just peed in me slippers.
Harry?
Listen to Harry and please gamble responsibly. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Just the most hectic period of management and playing.
Yeah, it's always a very hectic period, you know. There was no real Christmas, to be honest, when you're involved in playing and managing. You know, it's very difficult to find time to, you know, Christmas Day. I always trained on Christmas Day when I was, you know, a manager. I always had my teams in on Christmas Day, Christmas morning. And then quite often you'd be travelling away for an away game on Boxing Day. So,
Christmas night, you'd be away, yeah. It must have just been, do you think because you were always in that life, you never really knew anything different? So once you were playing from that age and then going into coaching and management, it's sort of, I don't think anyone's going to sit here and shed a tear for millionaire footballers that are away all the time having to deal with it.
But you've got nurses and doctors and all sorts of, you know, people in the working to keep us all going over the Christmas period, you know, you've certainly got no sympathy. I wouldn't expect any sympathy for footballers, that's for sure.
Going back into the days when you were managing, you were never tempted if they won, say, the game before Boxing Day to give them Christmas Day off. That never crossed your mind? You always had too much to think about going forward?
Yeah, no, I never would have thought of giving them. No, always, you know, you need to come in, you need to keep your eye on the ball, don't you? And you know, Boxing Day, that's a busy period. You know, it's a big change, Sam. You know, I can remember going back, you know, way back, you know, they used to play on Christmas Day.
Up to 1959, wasn't it? I think they finally stopped it then. At Christmas Day, you used to have fixtures. And whilst that, what you wouldn't have been playing then, I'm sure you could remember as a youngster, Christmas Day football must have seemed, well, it seems almost alien to me. But can you imagine Jurgen Klopp getting on board with Christmas Day and Boxing Day fixtures? I can't.
Yeah, no, I mean, those were the days you'd play. There was one particular year in West Ham. I don't know whether they played Boxing Day and the day after or whatever. They played Blackburn Rovers at home. I'd have been sort of 16 then, you know. It would have been round about, I'll tell you when it was. It was 1964. Because West Ham went on to win the Cup that year and they played Blackburn Rovers at home and got beat, I think it was 8-2.
Oh,
8-3. I think it was 8-2. And they travelled up to Blackburn straight after the game. We all waited outside the door, outside the dressing room. They called all the youth team and all the reasons. We all had to come and, because they just got smashed up like you wouldn't believe at home, 8-2. And we didn't know if Ron Greenwood was going to change, make loads of change. So we all had to be there in case we were called into the squad. Anyway, they went up to Blackburn on the train, the same train as the Blackburn team. They travelled up, not together, but on the same train. And he made one change, Ron Greenwood. He let Martin Peters out of that team that got beat 8 and brought Eddie Bobbington in to come in and mark Brian Douglas, who was an England international and a fantastic little ball playing, was running the game from midfield. And he put Eddie Bobbington to do a man-to-man marking job. And West Ham won the return game 3-1. So they went from losing 8-2 at home to winning 3-1, I think it was, at Blackburn.
I expect by the end of that little Christmas, the players were sick of the sight of each other, having gone backwards and forwards like that. Harry, moving on to sort of your management days, did you ever have to put a stop to the humble Christmas party? I imagine that must have been the bane of your life as a manager with some of the players you had to manage.
Yeah, I mean, when I was at West Ham, you know, my first year there, we were struggling at the bottom of the league. And suddenly I got wind that there was the Christmas party was going to happen. And they were going to hire an open-top bus to travel from the training ground up to the West End of London with a jazz band on top of the bus.
Nice and subtle.
Now, we're bottom of the league, so I called the players, called them in, and I said, you know, are you having a joke? Are you kidding or what? We're bottom of the league, and you are going to have a Christmas party. You're going to get on a bus and have a jazz band, and you're going to go through past West Ham Football Ground, and you expect them people who are walking, they're going to be throwing bricks at you. You know,
I don't think they've got to the West End somehow, Harry.
They're working, paying your wages, you're bottom of the league, and you're going past drinking, having a jolly up on the top of an open deck bus. So, you know, lucky enough, they decided that it wasn't a good idea. So that was one that I certainly had to cancel. But the other one I tried to cancel was when I was at Tottenham, and I did a press conference, forget what day, it might have been on the Wednesday morning or whatever. And they said, what about the Christmas, Harry? You know, I said, no, they're not having Christmas parties here at Tottenham this year. I said, we're in a great position in the league. I said, they can have their parties in the summer. There's definitely no one going for Christmas parties this year. What I didn't realise, and I never had a clue, the night before the press conference, they'd all been to Dublin and all got drunk and disorderly. And it was all in the paper next day. The following morning, it's all pitched. Harry said no Christmas party. Well, so, and here they all are, all falling about with Christmas hats on and God knows what, laying out on the streets of Dublin.
I expect there was a few fines dished out, Harry, behind closed doors after that, I hope.
Absolutely.
Oh, dear.
That was a nightmare.
Well, we move on to look at the league so far, Harry. I wanted to just have a catch-up and just chat on a few points with you. And you, I think it's fair to say, one of the first people to really give a good mention to Spurs' title aspirations. And they've really come into their own this season under Jose. And the combination of Son and Kane has just been working very well. Obviously, recently, lost up at Liverpool, but I don't think there's any shame in that, and it's certainly not put them out the race by any stretch of the imagination. Just how impressed have you been with Jose's team this year?
Well, he's got a good team. I mean, I look at the squad. I wouldn't swap their squad for any other squad. I know lots of people, when you go for it, they bought in players. They took the right back, Doherty, as cover for Aurier at right back. So they got two international right backs. They had Davies, and they bought the Spanish boy in from Real Madrid to play left back. They've got cover in every position. They've got people like Harry Winks, who plays for England, who can't get in the squad. They've got Dele Alli, who I still think is an amazing talent, can't get a game. Even Gareth Bale was in the squad the other night at Liverpool. I think maybe he wasn't well, whatever. Mm. But you look at the squad, it's an incredible group they've got there. He made 10 changes for the UEFA Cup before the Liverpool game. They've got such strength in depth, and they've got the two, without doubt, them two together. There's not a better pairing anywhere at the moment. They're just incredible.
No.
Harry Kane and Son. I mean, so I just think they've got a squad there that it's entitled to be up there challenging.
Yeah.
Okay, lots of people sort of looking at them going, well, they don't have any possession. They only have 30%. But they're winning games. He's playing to their strengths. They can play on the counter. And that's yeah. where they are. They're going to be bang there at the end of the year. Make no mistake about it.
Well, a team across the other side of the divide in North London that's had an absolute shocker, I think it's fair to say. Touching on Arsenal, Harry, they've got to play Chelsea on Boxing Day, which is always a huge fixture. But what? Just touching on Arsenal, what do you think sort of gone wrong a little bit there this season?
I think it's been going wrong for years, a few years. I mean, they're no different. No, and no disrespect to Arteta. I like Arteta.
Mm.
I think, he was an excellent player, and I'm sure he'll become, with the right tools, he could become a top manager. But like every football manager, Sam, you need the tools. It ain't no good. It's like Aidan O'Brien. He's got all these fantastic horses. I'm sure he's a good trainer, top trainer. But he's the guy up the road who's training and he's getting horses for $5,000 and $4,000 and $8,000. He can't compete with someone who's getting the horses that cost $2 million or whatever and got the best breed. And that's how football's not a lot different, The top managers, the top teams every year. Okay, we had Leicester 1 year that broke the mould. Sure, incredible performance. But in the main, it's the same six every year, there or thereabouts. They've got the best squads. Arsenal's squad at the moment, it's a poor team. Their team is poor. Mm. I looked at them at the start of the year, and I said, Arsenal got no chance. Absolutely. I said, I can't see them finishing in the six. Now, I'll go through them. There's, what have they got? Who's performing? Mm. Aubameyang, they were relying on him. He's like a one-man team. Since he got his new contract, I don't think he scored a goal except the own goal. I mean,
it's challenging, isn't it? And I imagine it's very difficult once you're in those ruts. There's been a few mentions that there's a few bad eggs, and they've had to leave Mesut Ozil out the squad, which just to many people as an outsider looking in seems a perplexing decision when he's such a talented player. But they'll play Chelsea on Boxing Day, and let's just touch on them, Harry, because it's been a baptism of fire, I think, for Frank. And he's had some nice results and he's had some mixed ones. Obviously, they went and got beat by Wolves and things. But they're still a young side and they're developing now, aren't they? I think it's fair to say. And he's putting his mark on them.
Well, yeah, I mean, Frank, he's had a big opportunity. And, the owner backed him in the summer. Mm. See, what you have to understand now, Sam, is players are not, most cases, players are not brought in by managers. They're brought in by heads of recruitment or whatever. Mm-hmm. They used to be called a chief scout back in the day. Now, whatever they are, they look at their, they're watching computers all day and picking out players on stats and God knows what. But they're bringing the players in. So as a manager, you've got to get on with what you're given, basically. I'm sure you get asked, but in the main, they brought the two Germans in.
Mm.
At the moment, a pair of them, I know that people, they've not, I don't think they've performed. They've had little flashes we've had.
Yeah.
But in the main, I think the two of them look to me to still be way off it.
Werner, I think, certainly going to grow into it, hopefully. I think.
Maybe. One or two things I look at with him, I hope so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put my life on it.
No.
But I hope so. He's got pace. Where does he play? Where does he play? I don't see him as a left winger.
No.
Where does he play? I would see him as a front man with a fantastic, whether it's Mason Mount or someone playing in a hole behind him, who's going to be sliding balls into his runs at that explosive pace. He looks to me, I don't see how he's a left wing. He hasn't got a trick. I don't see him. He's going to make runs in off that left hand out from wide to in. I don't know. I'm not sure.
The jury's out at the moment.
The jury's out, big time. The jury's out on the goalkeeper still for me.
Yeah, no.
Still out on the goalkeper. I know everybody's raving, he's great. Only time will tell.
Yeah.
I think Silva was a great signing. I went to the game. I thought he was absolutely superb. His reading of the game and absolutely brilliant. I'm not sure. Do you know what Frank's got? He's got a big jigsaw puzzle with so many. He's got so many fantastic pieces, but putting it all together, I don't know how he fits them all in. There's so many players of the same type, attacking wise. I like the left back Chilwell, the right back James. There's good, but they're overloaded with lots of Pulisic. I love him, good player. Mason Mount. They've all, he's got Hudson and Doi. They're very, very lot of similar type players. The boy he bought from Ajax. He's got a big job fitting them all in together, Frank, and trying to find the best team, best formation, and the best way to win football matches. If anyone can do it, he can. He's a very clever boy, and hopefully he'll do it.
Yeah, I think it'd be a fun puzzle to certainly try and watch unfolding. Just if we look at the table, Harry, there's a couple of teams probably that have overachieved so far this season. Who would you pick out as your overachievers so far this season? Who's punched above their weight? Would you say you got the likes of Southampton, Leicester, Everton?
Southampton for sure. Southampton have been excellent. Southampton look a very, very good team, I've been very, very impressed with Southampton.
Do you think that's just a consistency that the manager's brought in terms of playing a fairly settled side? Obviously, they had Danny out of injury for a period of time, who's now back in, but I was always quite impressed that he seemed to have a bit of consistency built in, and it's reflected in their results.
Yeah, I think they've brought in one or two, The centre halves look strong. They look quite strong there. They've got Theo's done well. Mm. He's come in. He's got a new lease of life suddenly, going back to Southampton. Danny Ings coming back now from injury is going to be a big plus. Che Adams has started to perform and scored some goals, which is great. He's got everything. He's strong. He's quick. He can do things. He can score. I think Southampton are the big surprise to everybody at the moment. They're going ever so well, and they could, if anyone's going to get into that six outside of the unexpected. Listen, Everton have invested heavily. Mm. They're entitled to be pushing there for a top six position. Leicester again. Leicester should be there.
Yeah.
Outside of them, outside of Southampton, Everton, Leicester, I can't really see. Wolves are not quite what they. I know they won the other night, but they're just not quite where they were last year. It's gonna be tight. Man United is still in the title race.
Yeah, which is a really fair point, Harry. I think plenty of people seem to be keen to write Ole and his men off, but yeah, he's there or thereabouts, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I looked at them last night. They've got such pace on the break. Rashford, Greenwood. They can be a threat to anybody, but I just think it's wide open. It's a different game this year, Sam, with no crowds.
Yeah.
And it's a different game. We're
starting to see, we were initially starting to see some back. That's going to be even more challenging going forward. And I think hopefully we will have at least some games for the remainder of the season with even smaller crowds, because it certainly seemed to lift players and the mood and at least kind of bring that reality back to football. But Harry, before I let you go, how are you spending your Boxing Day this year? Obviously, potentially, you're doing a bit of punditry, or are you going to be at home enjoying
it? No, I'm at home. I'm at home. Football, football, racing yeah, all day.
I was going to say,
I'll be in here. Sandra being in the other room there watching EastEnders or something. Or
I was going to say,
Coronation Street. I shall be in here with the phone.
Enjoying a bit of the action. Now, come on, Harry, the King George. You've got Clan de Zobo, who won it last year, up against stablemate Surname. Potentially, Bet Victor ambassador Rachel Blackmore might be there with Mona Lee from Henry de Bromhead stable. Have you got a strong view on the King George?
Sam, I would listen to you. You're a million times better judge than me on the racing.
I think it'd be a great race. And I actually, out of the Paul Nichols pair, I'd prefer Clan de Zobo. I think he's been there, done it, got the T-shirt, and it's been his aim all along. I wasn't too disappointed with his run in the Betfair, but it's certainly going to be interesting, and we'll wish Rachel Blackmore, if she rides Mona Lee, the best of luck coming over.
Yeah,
potentially.
It'd be
a really interesting race. But Harry, a massive thank you. All of us at BetVictor want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we look forward to catching up with you in the new year.
And you, Sam, one more tick for the season, Bournemouth to get promoted.
Yeah, they're going well, aren't they, down there? It'd be great to see them.
I think they'll be bang there.
Well, there you go.
I could really see the three that came down going back up this year.
Yes.
Norwich, Watford.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least.
No, we wish the Cherries the best of luck. Harry, speak to you soon.
And you, Sam, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Bye, mate. Bye.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate. Set Smart TV to record the football later.
You've got to be joking, haven't you? I haven't got a clue. But I tell you what, if you want to chuck a few quid on it, your best bet is to try that BetVictor app. Even I'm a whiz on that.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet with BetVictor. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly.
Son, seen the remote?
Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by BetVictor ambassador Rachel Blackmore. Rachel, how are you?
I'm all good, Sam. Thanks. And you?
Yeah, really well. Season's greetings. I tell you what, the life of a jockey at Christmas, probably not too much fun. You won't be tucking into too much turkey, and then you have a very busy schedule. But when you look at some of the horses you could be riding, I think it's well worth having to forego, perhaps, all the lashings of Christmas dinner. First of all, obviously, sadly, not able to get over for Boxing Day over here. You're going to be very much at St. Stephen's Day for you, domestically based, with the travel ban, which is a tad disappointing for Monley, because I think Henry seemed pretty bullish about his chances in the King George, but I understand he's got a couple of alternative options back home.
Yeah, look, we're all disappointed about Manly not being able to head over, but you know, there's a lot more important issues going on in the world at the moment. So yeah, he's in the Savills chase in Leopardstown, and I think Henry mentioned today Tremor on New Year's Day could be an option for him as well. So look, there's plenty of options for him there. So we're looking forward to him.
Yeah, be some contest at Tremor, be the hottest ticket in town if anyone could actually manage to go, because obviously we'd be facing the dual Gold Cup winner in Album Photo probably, which I think all of us would love to see. Obviously he's a fantastic horse, and you might end up having to choose between him and Manila Endo, who I think has been fantastic so far this season. Last seen in a race that we probably didn't learn too much about him that day that we sponsored, but I thought it was just nice to see him. He's getting plenty of experience. How's he been at home?
Yeah, he's been really well. Look, he did nothing wrong the first day in Wexford, and the same again the last day. You know, if anything, he seems a lot more mature this year, a bit sharper. He's developing really, really nicely, and yeah, I'm he's definitely one that I'm really excited for now over Christmas. You know, these horses are very special to have, and hopefully we can take another step forward here.
Yeah, a real, real live Gold Cup contender on many people's radar. Couple of other, we just go through this list, Rachel, and it's just an absolute plethora of stars. Notebook obviously gave you a great Grade One double last year at the Dublin Racing Festival in front of pack stands. How's he been cracking on at home? He's obviously back now. Disappointing at Cheltenham, I think it's fair to say, last year, but he looked pretty good winning last time out.
Yeah, look, he was very good the last day in Nice. did it well and will have come on fitness wise from that run as well. So we're really looking forward to him. He seems well at home. David Roach rides him out a lot and he's very happy with him. So yeah, really looking forward to riding him. I've had some great days around Leopardstown on him, so hopefully we can add to our record around there.
I think he's going to be one to keep an eye on. We've got, I think we must talk about a horse that has been a little bit of a, how do I say this, kind of, I think, emerging into the champion hurdle picture. Aspire Tower was 50-1 with BetVictor at the start of the season. Currently a 16-1 chance. I know this is a horse you think an awful lot of, and he really backed it up, hasn't he, so far?
Yeah, he has. Cheltenham, everything went wrong for him in Cheltenham. He jumped quite right, and you know, we still managed to finish second. So he's a much better horse than he showed in Cheltenham, and he showed us that in the North the last day. You know, he was a very good winner, and yeah, he's got a lot of ability, and we couldn't be happier with him.
Do you think with that type of horse, obviously we see some of the more precocious juveniles and then you see others that continue that curve of improvement. It's quite hard, I imagine, to detect that in the early days of a horse, but you know, plenty don't go on, but he definitely seems to have done. Do you think we've seen the best of him yet?
No, I think the best is yet to come with him. Similar to Manella Indo, he's matured well this year. He's a lot more manageable. He was quite keen in his early days, but he seems to be settling a lot better now. And I hope we haven't seen the best of him yet. I hope that the best is yet to come.
Well, Aplu Tard gave you obviously your first ever festival winner. Got a couple of entries over Christmas, Rachel. I still have such high regard for this horse.
Yeah, I do as well. He's in the 2 mile and the 3 mile race, and he's extremely adaptable. So I'm not sure where he's going to line up, but you know, he's definitely not one to discount in either race.
Yeah, I think sometimes versatility can be almost held against a horse at the top level because they have to compete against top level horses with whichever trip they end up taking. And you know, some people would perhaps throw suggestions that a horse like that, oh, he doesn't have a best trip, therefore he can't be top class. I would disagree. I definitely think he's well up there, and I certainly wouldn't mind owning one as good as him. Rachel, I know we're going to have loads. There's so many horses you're riding over Christmas. It isn't fair to go through them all because we'd be here till Christmas. But I just wondered if there was anything lurking, perhaps a juvenile hurdler that might be emerging, or a horse we wouldn't know too much about that you'd be pretty excited to be potentially riding over the festive period.
Henry has a lovely three-year-old, Trebizan. He's a lovely horse at home. He's been schooling really well and working well. So I think we'd all look forward to him and seeing what he can do over hurdles. So he's definitely one, I think, to keep an eye out for.
One for the note. But is that, I think, the 27th that race is such a brilliantly packed, busy schedule. There's lots going on, but certainly one we'll all be keeping an eye on. And while we've got you, I think it's only fair to touch on just some of the success so far this season and some of the big names that perhaps we'll see again in January, February time. Obviously, Honeysuckle, brilliant winner yet again, was made to really dig deep in that race. But considering it was her first start of the season, I know we touched on it in a previous podcast, but you still must look back on that run and think, you know, she ran an absolute cracker to win it.
Oh, look, she did. There's no grade one easily won, and she had to pull out all the stops to do it, but that's what she always does. So she was just doing what she does best, and she's obviously not going to Leopardstown over Christmas. She'll go straight to the Irish Champion Hurdle in the Dublin Racing Festival. So yeah, look, she's fantastic. I think everyone's sick of me saying how great she is.
Yeah, and I think you're going to be sick of being put on the spot and asked which race you should be going in at the festival. But I'll spare you that one on this occasion, because I'm sure after the
thank you
after the Irish Champion Hurdle, she wins it and makes it back to back. I'm sure plenty of people would be clamouring for Kenny to have a little consideration for a tilt at the big one. But we shall see. She's a brilliant horse, and one you'd love to be involved with. Captain Guinness bounced back. Obviously, he had a bit of an issue, But boy, he just jumped and travelled really nicely, I thought, when getting off the mark over fences.
Yeah, look, he was very good. It was great to get him back. Great to get him back to do that. You know, he had a heart issue after his run in Tipperary, so to get him back to jump and travel like he did the last day was brilliant. And you'll be really looking forward to him now for the future.
And I think you said afterwards, or Henry remarked afterwards, that potentially the better ground, which you'd probably hope to get in the spring, would see him in a better light potentially. Even he might even travel and jump even better.
Yeah, he's kind of his style of running. We just think that might, better ground might bring out even more improvement in him. So, yeah, look, he's very exciting, and hopefully he can keep going the way he's going now.
Yeah, certainly. And there's one more we must touch on. Bob Olinger, obviously just touched off by Fernie Hollow, who's sadly out for the season now. But that looked a strong piece of form. And he went and had a facile victory recently enough. Do you think you learnt much from that, Rachel? I appreciate betting odds don't come into it when you're a jockey, but it looked so easy. Did it feel easy?
Oh, it did. That horse has absolutely bags of ability. I think he's going to be a name that's going to be around for the next couple of years, hopefully, competing at the top level. He's extremely nice. And I think everyone involved with him is lucky to have him.
Oh, I think that's the soundbite of the century there, Rach. So fingers crossed he can keep going the right way. Obviously, it's early days in his career, but certainly looks an exciting prospect for owners that have got some absolutely smashing horses. Rachel, all that remains, we want to wish you the very best over Christmas. It's going to be a really, really busy time for you. Massive appreciation for yourself and all the other jockeys that are keeping us all entertained while we're going to be stuck indoors. So a big thank you from us, and we want to wish you the very best of luck.
Thanks, Will and Sam, and very happy Christmas to anyone tuning in as well.
Thank you, Rach.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Should I take boosted odds on the big lad to score first or risk a cheeky bet on the new boy?
Listen, back in the day, people were always offering me deals on players. But sometimes, despite the fans screaming for me to sign them and the chairman having the cash, if I wasn't sure, then it wasn't worth the gamble. Sometimes your best bet is not to take the bet at all. Oh, got to run, pal. The dog's just peed in me slippers.
Harry?
Listen to Harry, and please gamble responsibly. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Well, welcome back to the Bet Victor podcast. Now we've got something a little bit different, a little bit special. It is Christmas time. We love a Christmas special or two. And today's guest is Harry from the Didn't Happen of the Year Awards. Harry, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem.
Really appreciate it.
We've given our traders the unenviable task of trying to price up the Didn't Happen of the Year Awards for the last couple of years now. But before we get into what's the potential runners and riders for this year and anything like that, can you just give us a bit of a premise for what the Twitter page is and how it started?
Sure, yes. Yeah. So Didn't Happen of the Year Awards is it's a satirical comedy Twitter account that, in short, calls out lies and all the rubbish that you'll see over the course of the internet, and as you know, on social media especially, there's plenty of that. And it calls it out only for comedy purposes. There's no malice or sort of ulterior motive behind it. We're not trying to call out sort of fake news in the way that Trump might have planned to. So it's all for a good laugh. And at the end of the year, we get the best entries, the best 32 entries, and do a World Cup style Twitter poll in which people can engage in and vote for their favourites. And it typically runs over 3 days. And people like to get very engaged with it. You ask how it started. It wasn't myself. There was a guy who had the original idea, and he created the original account. And I thought it was a great idea. I had my own way of how I wanted to do it. So I got in touch with the guy and asked if he was, willing to let it go. And after quite a while, he eventually agreed. But yeah, so I've had it since. I didn't do the first year. I've done every year since.
So we should say you've got nearly 300,000 followers on Twitter. It's @_DHOTYA. it's going to be interesting. Obviously, a lot of them are topical around news events and that sort of thing. And there's quite a common theme when I flick through it to what I see appearing. But can you give us some ideas of previous winners and what we can be expecting potentially that might go quite well or be popular this year?
Yeah, of course. So you mentioned there's a few themes. Think about what's going on in the news this year and the last couple of years. You've got Brexit, you've got Trump, not just Trump in general, but you've got the election. You've got COVID, plus just, I guess, random lies over the years. So they're the themes that you generally see. And there was somebody, and I wish I could find who. I have looked. There was a follower about 2 years ago who, during the awards, had coined the phrase, you've got your dot-ya purists and your dot-ya populists. And they basically categorized every dot-ya entry into either purist or populist. And the purist was the, you know, everybody cheered and my 4 year old said this and everybody round of applause, and stuff like that. Then you have your populist stuff, which is a little bit like Donald Trump this year saying, I win the election, but you didn't, and it's very obvious that you didn't, but it doesn't have kind of the pure feel of what Dottie was meant to be.
Coming into, it must have been quite tough this year, 32 have to go into the polls. How's your process then? Do you look back or do you try and follow as the year goes on and make notes?
Yeah, so try and follow as the year goes on. So I made the mistake the first year that I did it of not taking note. Comes to the end of the year, comes to the awards, and I have to go look back for 32. And it's quite hard because I post a lot, although not as much as I used to. And so I keep like a Google folder, Google Drive folder, and keep them in there, look back now. So I've got dead on, very coincidentally, I've got dead on 32 in there now. There might be a couple more before the awards, but you narrow it down to the final 32. It's my own decision. I don't have a panel. I don't have anybody else who gets involved in the account. It's just myself. So this is the part of the year that's particularly fun for me, because I know how interested some people genuinely are in it. And of course, you guys at BetVictor doing the betting market means that there's actually a big decision that can be on my shoulders with this.
We've got, obviously, there will be people that don't like the stuff you do, but there is an interesting charitable side to you, just flicking through the Twitter feed. Do you want to just fill us in? Most recently, there was a significant donation made to a cause, I think, quite close to you.
Yeah, we've done quite a few. To be fair, a couple of years ago, I think it was nearly $6,000 for the homeless. This year, we've done a couple. So one that we did, there was a girl who got in touch, a girl called Ruby, who lives in Peterborough, and she needed £35,000 for an operation that she had to have. And she's lived her whole life with a condition. Apologies for my ignorance. I can't remember the condition off the top of my head. But it caused her a lot of pain. And she needed £35,000. I think she had about £8,000 at the time. She'd been fundraising for a long, long time. And so she got in touch and I thought, okay, I'm going to do one better. So I did a competition, said if anyone donates £5 or more or retweets this tweet just to get more exposure, I'll buy the winner Domino's pizza. So out my own sort of money in that. So anyway, a guy gets into that, starts to go well. People are donating. I think like £1,000 has been donated. And then a guy gets in touch, Stephen Bartlett, who runs a company called The Social Chain. And he gets in touch within about an hour and says, I've just seen what you're doing. I want to increase it to a year's supply of Domino's pizza and I will pay for it. I personally pay for it as well. So this wasn't a company donation. So for a while, that's amazing. You know, so I go and upgrade the prize and you can imagine more and more donations are coming in. She took probably about 4,000 or 5,000 from Dot Your followers. But what this did was it got some media attention. The fact that Dot Your had kind of been doing this, some local media attention for me, like Coventry Telegraph, Coventry Live, sorry. And they, that started to pick up in a load of local places. And Ruby got in touch and said, actually, the media frenzy that kind of started from it, she got the £35,000
wow.
Pretty quickly. And she's now had the operation and she's doing well.
Well, that's fantastic. And it just goes to show that, you know, for anyone that's a little bit sceptical, there is a positive side to everything. And, you know, we're looking forward to some good fun. And fingers crossed, Harry, it goes well this year. And we're looking forward to seeing the runners and riders when they come out later this week.
I hope so. And to kind of finish this, there's one interesting fact that you might not know, and I don't even know if your traders know or if the people who make this happen know. But my own personal research tells me that BetVictor doing this betting market for Didn't Happen of the Year awards is only the second time in history that a betting market has been placed on the outcome of a social media event.
Wow.
Not a real event with social media stars, you know, like the KSI mm-hmm. and Logan Paul fights, but an event that takes place solely on social media, influenced by social media users. And the first time was a competitor not as good as BetVictor.
Christmas movies, was it?
Yeah, it was Richard Osman. Yeah, Christmas movies, and then they did his next year's one with crisps as well.
Yeah, there you go. So it's something a little bit different. It's a little bit of fun. It's something just for small stakes to give you some enjoyment. Harry, best of luck with it, and I'm sure you're going to have some fun throughout the Christmas period. It kicks off, doesn't it? Is it Boxing Day? It kicks off.
It's Boxing Day, yes. Can't wait.
All right, well, we'll be enjoying the Boxing Day sport and having a click around on Twitter. Do get involved and have a vote. Harry, best of luck and have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and you too.